So let's pray and let's get this started. Lord, we just thank you for your church, for the stories that are coming out of all the things that you're doing in every single one of us. God, you're doing an amazing work in each individual person here. I pray you would continue that work today as we speak about missions. And so appropriately, like Paul O said, like what we do every day. And it doesn't matter of the locality. It is a matter of the heart. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our church today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so the title of my sermon is The Office, because I work in an office and we want to talk about missions not being about location, but really about the heart. And, you know, we think about missions, you think about going away to a far country like our Thailand team did, learning new languages and cultures and new foods to share about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oftentimes it comes with humanitarian relief. And that's all true, and missionaries are usually, you know, we send them out, right? America, we send out millions and millions of missionaries all across the world to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ all throughout the world. And that is missions in a sense. But however, you and I, we are all called to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Not just missionaries. We are all called to be evangelists. We are all called to fulfill the mission of Christ, which is to create disciples wherever we go. Amen? So the hard part is, how do we do that in our busy lives, right? We have jobs. We go to school. Some of us are raising kids. That takes a lot of effort. Caring for our aging parents. We're all doing our thing, and it's really hard to make time to be intentional about evangelism. So I think about, where do I spend the most amount of time besides, you know, at home with my family? You know, and I spend the most amount of time at the office, right? I still have to go in physically, unlike some of you who gets to work from home virtually. And so I have to actually go into an office. You have to mingle with people. You have to talk to people. You ride the elevator with them. Like, it's a whole new world, different world. Some of you guys may never know. And I spend a lot of time at the office, a lot of time in relationship with my coworkers. And we're all trying to create something for the world. All of us, we're trying to create something that will benefit the world. And so, do you ever ask yourself this question, why did God put me at this job? Like, why did God put me here, right? Do you ever think about that? Yes, it's to pay the bills, enjoy life, provide for your family. You know, but I believe God has placed you in your job for a reason. You are there for a reason. Whether you like that job or not, you are there for a reason. Whether it's in your office or in your home raising kids, we all know that is the hardest job in the world. Whether you're in between looking for jobs, you're there for a reason. We spend so much of our time thinking about work, investing in our work, but we rarely invite God to that space. We rarely invite God to our work. So what does my occupation have to do with missions? And you might be asking that question. What does it have to do with worship? And I'm hoping today's sermon could help you, help guide you in those questions. And for those that are not working, looking for work, or full-time parents, I believe this is a word that can still speak to you, because it's just a matter of inviting God to wherever you are. All right, so let me tell you what I do, right? You guys know I do have an office job. I am a sustainability officer for Los Angeles County. I push sustainable initiatives, electric vehicles, charging infrastructure. We plant trees, conserve water, all those things that sound really nice, really in vogue these days. Those are all good things. I really enjoy doing that and changing the world. But of course, there's a lot of hard things about my job. I feel like there's this ticking time bomb every day I go to work, like 2045. Like, we have to address climate change by 2045. I feel that pressure every day. There's this Paris Climate Agreement. I don't know if you guys follow the news. All the countries all across the world, we're trying to get to carbon neutrality, no greenhouse gas by 2045. Man, it's a lot of pressure on everybody trying to do these things. And I feel that pressure every day going to work. Also, I start work at 6:30, so I wake up at like 5 o'clock every day, and it is hard to wake up. In the winter, I wake up in the dark. I leave work in the dark. The sun never touches my skin. It is a little bit depressing. And the hardest thing about work is leading people, right? Leading people, being a leader is very difficult at work because it's hard to manage so many different perspectives and opinions. It's hard to motivate people towards a cohesive vision. So those are all the challenges that I face at work, and it's a struggle sometimes, right? And there's moments when I'm just like, oh gosh, I wish I could just forget all this, not have to be responsible for this. And I just look forward to the weekend, or sometimes I'm like, oh, how much longer do I have till I retire, right? Like, I'm pretty young, it's still far away, but I'm past halftime, right? I'm like third quarter in my career. I could see the end of the game, right? So am I the only one looking forward towards the weekend warriors? Am I the only one that's just clocking in, clocking out, not really enjoying work and not really seeing the purpose of our jobs, right? And we don't enjoy our work. Some of us, we even despise our work. Like, we really dread going in every day. And the ironic thing is that all of us, we want to work so hard, right? Like I mentioned two sermons ago, or 2 weeks ago, the biggest thing that we want in life is a job sometimes. That's one of the top prayer requests that I hear, is I really want a job. And when we're in it, we really want it, but when we're in it, we become quickly disgruntled. We become dissatisfied. This is not what I expected. I have, you know, a tough boss. I have difficult coworkers. Like, I'm not appreciated. We become really disillusioned very quickly. And is this what God intended work to be like, right? Is this what God intended work to be like? It has become like toil rather than something we enjoy. And I don't think God intended it to be like this. I believe God wanted us to enjoy work, to be fruitful and multiply, right? Enjoy our responsibilities. And really, it is our mission field. Our job is our mission field. Not only to create, but the relationships, to spread the gospel, how we work, spread the gospel literally to others. Our job, our office is the mission field, is our personal mission field. So I want to see what the scripture says about how we are to approach our responsibilities in the office. And so we're going to study the first workers, the first gardeners, the landscapers, the first people that worked, Adam and Eve. We're going to study what God told them to do. So we're going to go to Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 29. So God spoke, "Let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature, so they can be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself. And every animal that moves on the face of the earth, God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. God blessed them, prosper, reproduce, fill earth, take charge. Be responsible for the fish in the sea and the birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. So we have the plan for today. The plan is reflection, relationship, and responsibility. These three things are in that passage in Genesis chapter 1. So we're going to go with the first thing, reflection. Genesis 1, 26 to 28, God spoke, "Let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature," reflecting our nature, right? We're going to talk about the Imago Dei. Christy Wang, I heard you say Imago Dei in your offering prayer, so I knew this sermon was for today because we're on the same page, right? Imago Dei, there's this very famous painting, God stretching out his hand with his fingertip, and the human stretching it back out. It's supposed to be a reflection of God. Adam is a reflection of God, right? That's what Imago Dei means. It's not that we're equal to God And we're not, but we're supposed to be like him. We're supposed to be an image, an icon, a reflection, or a shadow of God. So in Genesis 1 and 2, God creates. You guys know the story. God creates in 6 days, rests on the seventh. So for 6 days, he creates the earth and everything in it, and he's satisfied. At the end of the seventh day, he says, "This is good. I've made it. I'm so satisfied in my work." And we are called to reflect this attitude in our responsibilities, right? And let me tell you something. When God works in this earth, right? When God does something in this earth, he almost always invites us to participate with him, right? When we talk about bringing the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, he always invites us to do it together with him. And in that way, we are reflecting his nature. We're doing it with him. We're doing it like him, right? Bringing forth heaven on earth. But do you know where we are not like him oftentimes, right? We often do not reflect his values when we are at work, right? Right, first of all, I don't know how it was for you guys, but first of all, sometimes people don't know I'm a Christian at work, right? So I can act very un-Christian sometimes, because I don't have to be a witness to them, right? I could be hard to them. I could be, you know, I could cuss. I don't know. Like, you can be not Christian-like at work because maybe they don't know you're a Christian. And we often feel like, oh, I can be free to not reflect Christ in this situation, right? The most popular thing to do at work is what? Just gossip and complain. Like, everyone does this, right? You gossip and you complain about your coworkers, your boss. It almost, people bond over these things, right? It's so easy to do it. It's so easy to fall into this trap. And what's another thing that doesn't reflect God's value at work? Sometimes we take shortcuts, right? We take shortcuts or we even cheat for profit, right? And every day I work, I have to repent of so many things I've done that is not reflecting God's values. Because I am a representative of God. I am called to reflect God wherever I go, and especially in my responsibilities at work. When you are a reflection at work, this is your chance to be blessed and to be a blessing, right? The blessing of Abraham, right? To be blessed and to be a blessing to others. And we are blessed because we get to participate in building something, creating something, helping people, restoring creation, bringing redemption. We get to carry out God's mission. And others are blessed because we get to do it in a way God intended us to do it, right? We get to bring peace and we get to bring purpose. We get to bring God's values in work, and people get blessed through that. Right? And in this secular, non-Christian world, you and I may be the only opportunity for them to interact with a Christian. This is our mission field. Your office, your job is your mission field. And we have to represent Christ well. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, relationship. Second point. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created mankind in his own image, in the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." And earlier in Genesis, he says, "Let us make man," right? In our image. So another aspect of God is relationship. And God's nature is about, is God is in the Trinity. Okay, so I'm going to explain to you Trinity. This is a very confusing topic sometimes. So the image I like to use is this image called, this word called perichoresis. Say perichoresis. Okay, so peri means around, like perimeter, and choresis means like dancing, like choreograph, right? So there's this image of the Trinity where the three people of the Trinity are dancing together, and they are all connected, but they are each discrete, right? And that's the image of the Trinity. So I'm going to show you in real example right here. So I'm going to invite Peter Huang and Kevin Lay, they were just sitting next to me. So we're gonna, I'm gonna show you what the Trinity looks like. Yeah, give them a hand. They reluctantly agreed to this. So let's hold hands, okay? So we're gonna dance around, okay? So we're dancing. Look, you guys. This is the perichoresis. Hey, you're going too fast, Kevin. Hey. All right? So we are submitting to one another. We're going at a pace. According to Kevin or Peter or myself, it's called mutual. We submit to each other's mutual interest. We are one. But I'm the only one talking. So right now, only one person of the Trinity is talking. But I'm all connected to three in one, one in three. We're all, this is the image of the Trinity. And this is perichoresis. Give him a hand, everybody. Yes. I asked Kevin to volunteer, and he said, am I going to dance? And I said, yes. We always ask Kevin to dance volunteer. And so each person, we're all joined in. We're all joined, but each person is distinct as well. That's the aspect of the Trinity, right? And God says, let us make man in our image. Let us, the Trinity, make man in our image. And what does that mean? That means God is relational. God is in a relationship already. The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. That is in a relationship already. Our triune God is a relational God. And we too, because we're created in His image, we are relational beings. What does this mean for us? It means God has meetings too, right? God has meetings. We are to reflect God's Trinitarian nature. So He expects us to work together as well. And one of the most important things about your job is your relationships with your coworkers. It's not just about what you produce. It's about the people that you bless around you. Because when we work together with other human beings, a work community, this also reflects God's nature. So early in my career, you know, like, I'm super ambitious right out of college. I just want to get things done. I want to show them what I'm capable of doing, right? So I work hard. I'm so focused on getting things done because it's easier to go faster alone, right? And I'm like, oh, there's so many people have opinions. Like, I don't even want to care about those opinions. I just want to go. I just want to show them what I can do, right? But you know, you go alone, but you go further together, right? And I learned that over many years at work, and I realized, you know, conflict and even diversity of opinions, diversity of people, these are actually beneficial to the end product. It's beneficial to the team as well. And it took me so long to understand that work is not just about work, but work is about our relationships. We are called to work in relationship with one another, to love the people that we work with, to love the people that we work with. And we reflect God's nature by valuing the relationships given to us at work. And like I said, what I've realized is the different people that bring their different opinions that I feel like it could be conflicting to mine, it could be different than mine, I learned to work with them, and these are opportunities to reflect God's nature to them. You can't represent God if you have nobody to represent God to, right? In a weird way, you need an audience. You need relationship and work. You need those meetings, the pre-meetings, the debriefing meetings, right? All those meetings, as much as we hate meetings, like you, those are opportunities for relationships. And those are opportunities to express the heart of God to them. And when we have the right lens about relationships at work, work becomes an opportunity rather than something that holds you back. Relationships become an opportunity to show the love of Christ in your office, in your job situation. And it is a privilege to be in relationships with those people. These are the people of God. These are people created in the image of God. God loves them so much, and we get to be the vessel that shows them God's love whenever we interact with them. God desires us to work together. It is a reflection of his nature. And here's the thing. When you start working together and reflecting God's nature and being in relationship and valuing these relationships at work, you actually become a better worker. Because when we interview for workers, what's one of the top things we're looking for? We're looking for team players. Right? It doesn't matter if you know everything all by yourself. It doesn't matter if you have all the skills all by yourself if you can't get along with others. The one that can't get along with others, that is the one person I do not want to be part of my team. Right? The best worker, even if they don't have all the skills or knowledge, is the team worker. It's the person who values the relationships, can get along with others, can love, can communicate. And it's not just about the product. It's about the relationships at work. Learning to love, learning to serve, learning to submit, just like the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, as they submit to one another. It is difficult to do, but this is our calling. This is what we are called to do as Christians. We are called to submit to one another. We're called to love one another, just as Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit does. Amen? Yeah. Amen. And finally, the responsibility. God bless them. Prosper, reproduce, fill earth, take charge. Be responsible for the fish in the sea and birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. Right? Other translations use dominion, but I like the word responsible. Right? Humans, we are called to be responsible over everything on earth, and we are expected to manage and take care of it. Right? And just as God created something beautiful in his image, we are to be like him, and we are supposed to represent him. And so we are also supposed to create and take care of this earth, all the resources in this earth. Right? So like I said, I am the sustainability officer. We have to address climate change. And climate change, you know, it is such a big deal. It's all over the news. And, you know, if you ask me what causes climate change, of course, I could say, you know, carbon dioxide, greenhouse gases, things like that. But when you get into it, you know what really creates climate change? Sin created climate change, right? It is, and more specifically, it's greed has created climate change. And I'm in the field of, this is my field, and I'll tell you right now, we have all the technology and resources to fix this right now if we really wanted to. But you know what's the hardest thing to fix? The hardest thing to change? The hardest thing to change is a person's heart. We don't have everyone's buy-in, so we can't enact the things that we think we should. It's really hard to change people's hearts. But as Christians, I believe every Christian should be, an environmentalist, right? Because we are called to be responsible with Earth's limited resources. And we have to be more concerned about Earth than we are with profit or revenue, and we can't do that as we abuse the Earth. We can't, because God has called us to be responsible for this Earth. Yes, we can make all the money in the world, but at what cost, right? At what cost? The death of our future and of Earth. You know, there's like these billionaires talking about going to Mars. Like, come on, guys, let's make Earth sustainable first, right? Let's do this. We can do this now. And it all, and this greed, the sin, not only is a matter of climate change, but also with labor, right? Poor labor conditions, slavery, this is all because of greed. It's because of sin. It creates these conditions. It creates these toxic situations where people value profit over human life, right? It is sin that ruins work. It is brokenness that ruins work. So what does it mean for us to be responsible? Okay? What does it mean to be responsible. And here's the one word answer when I say you should be responsible. It's ownership. Do you have ownership over what you're doing, right? Think about renting versus owning, right? Renters, they don't care how they treat the house. They know they're just there temporarily. They'll mess it up. They'll break things. They don't care because they don't actually own the house. Whereas an owner, you care, right? You care. You maintain it. You clean it. You make sure it doesn't break. You fix it before it causes bigger issues. Like, you care about it when you're an owner. Do you care about what you are doing, right? Do you care about your job, or is it just a job? Are you renting, or are you owning? You know, I've supervised many people, and I give them assignments, and here's some of the answers they tell me. The excuses is they tell me, that's not my responsibility. That's not my job, right? Or they tell me like, oh, but you're not, you don't, I don't agree with you. I don't want to do it like that, right? I say, well, it is, you should care. This is all our jobs. This is our job to handle this. This is our job to take care of this. It's not my job or your job. It's, we should all care and we should all have ownership over this assignment, right? We should all find solutions and be creative and contribute and initiate in bringing forth a solution to whatever problem that is at hand. Because that's what owners do. They care. And God is saying that we should care. We should care about what we do. You should care about your job. You should care about what you produce and how you produce it as well. And it doesn't matter if you'll never get promoted or if you'll never get a raise or you feel like this is a dead-end job. God has called us to be responsible, especially in what you do. Amen? So like I mentioned, from the beginning, God intended human beings to be partners with him in creating this world, bringing kingdom come on earth, right? We have this privilege to participate with God in bringing, you know, little fragments of the kingdom of earth here on earth. But like I mentioned, it becomes difficult because of our brokenness and because of our sin, right? The gossiping, the complaining, the ingratitude, it creates toxic cultures. The unwillingness to work together is very difficult. The irresponsibility of companies to create harm to humans and the earth in the name of profit. And I want to invite God to these places. Invite God to these places where we spend most of our days, and help us see the people the way God sees them. Help us see the work that we do the way God intended us to do. And really look at what we do through the eyes of God. And I think what we need to do is we need to pray for our jobs. We need to pray, invite God, invite the Holy Spirit to our jobs. Because work is another way to experience and express God. Whether we are students, whether we are homemakers or loan officers, financial advisors, God wants to walk and talk with us as we do our jobs. So we need to pay attention to God as we work. We need to pay attention to God as we work. We need to pray for the mission field that is our occupation. Because prayer will shift your attention away from productivity over competition and greed. Prayer will shift your values and align yourself with God's values, right? To be the reflection, to value relationships, to be responsible. Prayer is the key to align yourself to God's value. So years ago, like I mentioned, you know, work. When I first started working, I've been working for like 22 years now, right? And it's, when I first started working, it was difficult. Like coming to work, dealing with coworkers. And I met my first Christian, I met this Christian coworker, his name was Dustin. And he was from Virginia. And he's straight from Virginia, like this southern guy, and he never met an Asian Christian before. And he's like, I'm like, oh, bro, there's a lot. You're going to be surprised living in L.A. There's a lot of Asian Christians, okay? He helped me invite God to the workplace. And what we would do is write our prayer requests about work on this little post-it note. And we would exchange them with each other at work. So I would pray for him throughout the day. I'd post it on my monitor. I'd pray for him. He'd pray for me. And then soon people would ask, like, oh, what are those post-it notes you guys trading? We'd say it's prayer requests. And soon we started getting more and more people to trade these post-it notes with each other, right? And soon, you know, it started off at five. It was five guys and all these other five, like, entry-level workers. And then all these, like, older people wanted to join. These, like, females wanted to join. We're like, okay, sure. Like, soon, like, we're trading, like, 30, 40 post-it notes, like, all around work, right? All these Christians just coming out of the woodworks, right? And we started praying for our bosses. We started praying for our work. And the work didn't change. The work didn't change. But what changed? Our hearts changed towards work. We were convicted to reflect the values of God as we worked, right? So, you know, people like to gossip and complain, and they would talk about how underpaid they are. And just to mess with them, I say things like, I disagree. I think we're so overpaid, right? We should give our money back. Just to mess with them, right? Because I'm trying to create a new culture at work. And I would say things like, this is the best job ever, right? Nobody says that, right? But I would say those things to shift their energy. And I build relationships at work. So you make friends at work. And I actually hang out with them, right? These non-Christians. And I decide to take ownership and be responsible for my assignments rather than thinking, who cares about this? It's not my responsibility, right? Then I realize things change around me. The work is changing. God's values, God is using me to change my work atmosphere. And people want to work with me now. And I'm becoming more fruitful because I value people's relationships. I value their opinions. And managers want me to work for them because I took full ownership over my work. And I start enjoying the things I do the way God intended us, intended work to be. He intended us to enjoy it. So it changed from toil to something that was satisfying, just like God in Genesis 1. Now I can say I love what I do. I enjoy what I do. Like, how many of us can say that about our jobs? But I believe all of us can say that if we invite God to our occupations. And so I have this term, you don't have to use it if you want, but I call it workship instead of worship. My work is a place of workship, right? I know, it's lame, I know. But I go in Mondays, I'm like, oh, this is my workship, my worship. And prayer initiated all that. You pray for your jobs, you pray for your coworkers, you start growing a heart for them, you even start praying for your bosses, and God will reveal to you, he will grow a heart for your boss, your compassion for your boss. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So Revelation 22, verses 1 to 2. The angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit in every month. So I want to talk about eschatology, which means the view of end times, right? And this is a description of the end times. This is what our eternal place, the new heaven, new earth, looks like. And if you read this, you realize that our eternal resting place is a city. It is not clouds. It is a city. Our final resting place, the new heaven, new earth, is a city. It's going to have streets and rivers and trees. And guess what? I am building that today. I am bringing forth the kingdom of God on earth today. I get to help bring clean water. I get to bring forth sustainable practices. Me and my team, we are bringing in heaven on earth today. Every time I complete a project, every time I love on a coworker, it's a glimpse of heaven on earth. What an honor. What a privilege, right? So whether you are a doctor, a cook, Uber driver, I believe God can use you to bring kingdom of God on earth. Amen? And how you do that is you pray, you invite God to your occupation, to your hospital, to your car, your restaurant. And it starts with prayer. During break, just walking around, praying with your coworkers. Just invite the Lord to your occupation. We have an incorrect view of work. It's not about the money. It's not about the skills. It's not even about personal happiness or promotions. It is about bringing forth the kingdom of God. It is about expanding the mission of God wherever you go, including your job. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for the privilege of being able to bring forth your kingdom every day. As we work, as we build, as we raise our kids, as we study, Lord, it's all to bring forth your kingdom here on earth. Lord, I pray for Echo Church. Lord, I pray each and every single individual here as they go to work on Monday, as they raise their kids on Monday, drop off their kids, care for their parents, Lord, help them to see that you are doing a work in them. Help them to see the value in the relationships that they built. Help them to see how they get to participate in bringing forth your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I bless them. Lord, we just like the triune God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, Lord, won't you bless the people of Echo Church? And Lord, may Christ be victorious in us, especially this Monday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Echo Church. Make sure you buy a anime thing. I don't know what that is, but support the cause. Thank you, everyone.